Universe therefore includes every conceivable state or condition. Of form. Form is the inferior nature of everything manifesting. Being. Form includes not only every part of the universe from the mental level downward but, ultimately, up through the higher spiritual spheres, in fact every plane upon which differentiation exists. But the planes of consciousness above that of thought, and the entities dwelling therein, have a term other than form applied to them. The circle, or circumference, is therefore the symbol of feelings, thoughts, and bodies in all their infinite ramifications. The ancients symbolized form and the laws controlling the organization of matter into bodies by a reaping skeleton, the emblem of death. Form has ever been regarded as the parent of ignorance. Throughout the inferior creation, consciousness lies buried in form. Form is the confusing, resisting, limiting, inhibiting, and imprisoning part of existence. Nothing in whose nature even a trace of form remains is capable of absolute consciousness. Form is the graveyard of consciousness. Since all life is thus inhibited by form, no creature controlled by the form part is rational. Philosophically speaking, absolute form that is the ultimate degree of form is ultimate negation, because it is the absence of all that is necessary to the greatest good. In its most enmeshed state, life is at its lowest ebb. Therefore, in philosophy, form is termed the eternal adversary. In Egypt, form was called Typhon, and as a symbol of his disrepute, he was pictured with the head of a crocodile and the body of a hog. Sometimes the wings of a bat were added. Form is always the destroyer. In India, form is known as Shiva, or Rudra, the Lord of Destruction, or rather, the principle behind the form is so defined. In the realm of philosophy, form is one of the unsolved problems of the ages, for it is in reality simply an inferior life inhibiting the manifestation of a superior life. In this sea of confusing form elements, men live and move and have their being, and out of the ever-changing substances of form, all mortal creatures build their bodies, which are thus destined to return to the elemental spheres from which they were derived. Tihi Inferior Creation and Its Regent, 75. 76 Lectures on Ancient Philosophy. The universe of matter that extends throughout the infinite vistas of unmeasured space and includes within itself the heavenly bodies functioning through space and bearing with them an indescribable diversity of flora and fauna, is all part of what the ancients termed the underworld. Even the apparent vacuum in which these mighty bodies exist, and the host of invisible agencies that order sidereal dynamics, form part of a vast but inferior creation manifesting through the realm of form. This world of form, suns, moons, and stars, is called Hades, or the land of death. It is the world of darkness. It is called dark because in it the light of spirit is swallowed up and creatures move in the haze of uncertainty. Darkness, however, does not imply evil, but simply the lack of light. In the sphere of form, all creatures lack the full brilliance of consciousness or awareness. In this dark world, which is the circumference of the circle of existence, man is at his greatest degree of separateness from spiritual source, and the sphere in which he functions is the lowest degree of divine agency. All through mythology, the gods of light and life fight the demons of darkness and death. In the Babylonian mythology, Merodach slays the dragon, and in the Christianized version of the myth, St. George is the hero. The dragon of matter, a foul, flame-breathing monster, must be slain by Siegfried in order that the treasure of the Nibelung may be recovered. Every creature struggles against the inertia of its immediate personal environment. Inertia is the characteristic attribute of form. It must be realized that this is inertia in a relative sense. For if matter be reduced to its ultimate, it will be found to consist of life particles vibrating at incredible rates of speed. In comparison to the consciousness of man, however, matter is unconscious. In comparison to the active principles of the universe, matter is negative. On the other hand, in comparison to orders of life undoubtedly existing, but unknown to us, matter may very well be considered positive. Matter, or form, simply represents the unconquered environment that surrounds every life struggling for existence. As the world of life and consciousness represents the spiritual nature of deity, so the vast ocean of matter, continually changing and manifesting an infinite yud of forms, is the inferior part or body of deity. As all creatures are made in the image of their universal creator, it follows that each has a spiritual nature which is part of and harmonious with the spiritual nature of the universe, and also a material nature which is part of and harmonious with the cosmic body. When the emphasis of the life is upon its spiritual part, we term the individual idealistic, but when the emphasis is upon the material part, we term him materialistic. Character is determined by the plane of his own nature upon which the emphasis of the individual's life is placed. Every human being has moments when he rises above his own level, also moments when he sinks below that level. This level may be termed in music the keynote of the individual, with the sharp as its higher and the flat as its lower face. In Chaldean philosophy, there is the wonderful legend of Ishtar and Tammuz. The story deals particularly with the descent of Ishtar through the seven worlds into Hades, the inferior sphere. The allegory simply signifies the incarnation of the rational soul in the substances of the irrational world. The irrational world is divided into seven strata by the rings of the planets upon which sit, according to the mysteries, the seven governors of the world, each of whom bestows upon the incarnating soul one of the seven limitations of matter called veils by Hermes. However, in the myth of Ishtar, instead of the soul being veiled or having certain adornments given to it, the allegory sets forth the limitation of spiritual power through the removal of certain divine attributes. These attributes signify the functioning of certain spiritual forces, which functioning is rendered impossible by the involvements of the soul in matter. The spiritual properties of the rational self are symbolized by a crown, jewels, breast and body adornments, and sandals. As Ishtar descends through the seven gates of the seven governors, each takes from her one of her spiritual qualities until, deprived of all the evidence of her royal birth, spiritual origin, she arrives in the house of no return, the dark and gloomy pre-sense of death. Each human soul entering into mortal incarnation has thus been robbed, by the seven worlds of matter, of the manifesting Tihi inferior creation and its regent. 77. 78 Lectures on Ancient Philosophy. Proofs of its divinity until, helpless and impotent, the all-knowing spiritual man appears in the physical world as a wide-eyed babe incapable even of self-preservation. Thus the immortal assumes the dream of mortality, and clouded by the veils of the seven planets takes up the humdrum of mortal existence, all oblivious to the godhood within, robbed of her adornments. Ishtar must patiently accept the infirmities heaped upon her by the irate goddess of death. After many tribulations, Ishtar is at last rescued from her infernal prison through the intercession of the deities, and ascending once more through the heavenly gates receives back the symbols of her royal rank and dignity. Then, speeding her wings, she soars upward to the spheres of light. Philosophically considered, the descent of the rational N.A. tour of man into its irrational body is involution, the resurrection of the rational nature from this condition of immersion. Evolution. The physical universe is the sphere of ignorance, where each creature is at its worst in that it has forgotten the best within itself. So thick and numerous are the veils of the rings that the light of spirit is obscured until but a dim haze bears witness of its effulgence. It naturally follows that accomplishment in the physical world is the greatest of all accomplishments, for it is under the most difficult of all situations. Here is a key to the story of the prodigal son, who represents the incarnating soul. The pigsty, where he must eat and sleep with the hogs, represents one ancient patriarch's concept of the physical universe. When at last the prodigal, having repented of his iniquities and having seen the folly of material existence, returned to the house of his father, the light world, the fat calf was killed in his honor, for his accomplishment was great. Jealous of the attention bestowed upon the improvident youth, the elder brother made his dissatisfaction known to his father, who replied that there was ample cause for rejoicing in that the lost had been found and died dead lived again. The story carries the same thought permeating Egyptian philosophy, namely, that life in the mortal sphere without a realization of the divine plan is the true death, tefiat resurrection from this state is the most desired of all attainments. Yet, to rise victorious from the dark world of hopeless involvement is an accomplishment so noble that it elevates the conquering soul to a dignity exceeding that of the angels who are never confronted with this problem. The stupefying effect of matter, rather its organizations into form, is appropriately symbolized by cold. Those of you who have been out when it was 60 degrees below zero know what it means when the mercury freezes and the air is filled with a continuous crackling sound. Huge logs split from end to end with a sound like the report of a great gun, and even the nails seem to ooze out of the wood. It is hard to fight cold, because it discourages the effort to resist its influence. Over the nature gradually comes a feeling of comfort and peace, a calm accompanied by an overwhelming desire to rest. No prospect seems so pleasant as to go to sleep in the snow, no effort seems so unnecessary as to fight against the innate urge to drift off into the sleep of death. Cold fights you by taking away your desire to resist. This is the most insidious of all foes, and is comparable to the way in which form destroys spiritual initiative.